Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Welcome to A Call to Greatness with host, spiritual counselor, psychic, and energy management trainer, Victoria Post. In this hour, Victoria and her guest explore our individual and collective calls to greatness and support you in finding the courage and resources you need to follow through. Can you hear it? Your greatness is calling. Now here's your host, Victoria Post.
Greetings, blessings, and welcome to this edition of A Call to Greatness. I am your host, Victoria Post, and this show is about our individual and collective calls to greatness. We'll be exploring a bit of both on today's show, and if you would like to find out any more information about me and about my work, again, you can always feel free to check out my website, www.spiritalive.com. Meanwhile, in today's show, we are going to be taking a look at a couple of things as I see it. How to unlock your greatness and your vision and release that through your physical environment. How to take a look at your physical environment. We are also going to be learning a little bit more about what is current with feng shui, the art of feng shui, what is actually happening today beyond the basics of feng shui. And also with our guest, we're going to be exploring what it is like to live in a more unconventional way. My guest today is Laura Lynn Baker. She's a multicultural feng shui consultant and mentor and a whole lot more. And I'll get into a deeper introduction in a moment. But Laura Lynn, I'd like to bring you in and welcome you to A Call to Greatness.
Hello, thank you.
So glad you could be with us. And in beginning the show, before we get into the topic, I've asked Laura Lynn to actually give us a blessing. Laura Lynn is from a Native American tribe. Laura Lynn, could you pronounce the name of the tribe?
It's Little Shell Anishinaabe.
Anishinaabe. My computer had a lot of fun trying to pronounce that one.
Oh, I bet.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it actually did. So before we move into the blessing, Laura Lynn, is there anything that you would like people to know, anything you'd like to say before we start?
Well, I just feel that the reason that I've decided to give my feng shui business the tagline of multicultural is because I want to remind people that even though this is traditionally thought of as a Chinese type of a way of looking at life, everybody has roots in understanding how to make themselves feel good no matter what culture they're from. So
Amen.
I really strive to make all people feel comfortable mm-hmm. surrounding themselves and doing the types of ceremonies that make the most sense to them, using the Chinese format as a springboard. And I also believe that it's really important to remember your ancestral languages, so I'm always working on doing that and encouraging people to do a little research on their own family, because after all, when we're working in homes, it's all about making your family feel good.
Great. Great. So then, without further ado, Laura Lynn, could you bless us, just give us a blessing as we move into the show, as people are sitting in whatever homes, offices, rooms they are in.
Ho, Meshomas, Nakomas, Gitchimanadu, Megaziana Quadagnindal, Nishnabinindal, Mekinaknindal, Little Shamindal, Shunka Wakan to Otu Yuhawinindal, Nabiwa Babeji Gunganji Quenindal. Ho, Meshomas, Nakomas. Nangisi Sagi, Nangisi Bisanisi, Ho, Inoue Makinak. Grandmothers and grandfathers, we remember you, forgotten ones from long ago, who always strove to make a home for their family so everyone could be peaceful, and you who knew how to live on the land in harmony. We honor you and ask that your blessings and wisdom come forth into our homes today, all my relations.
Oh. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. So I'd like to begin. It was a wonderful blessing, and I often find when I come into my office that if I actually could take a moment like that and bless the space and give a blessing as I start my day, I might have a whole different relationship to it.
That sounds very, very good. That's good.
That, I've learned something already.
Yeah.
Or remembered something, really.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much of what we do that we just have to remember.
That's true. Well, you know, that's one of the reasons why I feel that I've been able to be successful for 15 years doing this is one of the very, very first things I do, no matter where I go, whether it's a home or an office, business, I make everyone sit down and we do about a half hour directional blessing ceremony because it reminds us that whatever direction we're facing, we ask for what we need and the Creator is there. And it takes the feng shui work we're going to do next out of just simply the intellectual mindset of knowing how to map out a building and where to put the right elements to activate certain goals you have in your life, to taking the time to speak out loud what you need. And so people have always told me that they really very much appreciate that. Also, because it's kind of scary to have a stranger come into your house that's going to be looking at every single corner.
Yeah.
So I found that's another way to kind of ease people when you start speaking from your heart and really asking for the truth of what you're doing rather than just starting at the material level. So, yes, it would be great for your office.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, and it might even give a whole different meaning to the clutter that happens to be in my office. I thought, let's see, bless that clutter a little. So, reading your website, I was intrigued by the description which said that you have been practicing Black Sect Tantra Buddhist Feng Shui since 1991. What is that?
Well, that is a type of Feng Shui that was brought to the West by His Holiness Grandmaster Lin Yun in the 70s. And when he came here to the West as he was working at a university, I believe in Berkeley, where he was teaching Asian studies, he knew that this was something that we really needed to understand about, but, you know, back then, really, who knew what feng shui was? So he was busy teaching Asian philosophy and so forth, and there was a student in his class, Sarah Rosbach, who started to be very intrigued by the fact that after class, there was a group of Chinese people who would file in the hall waiting for him, and he'd go out and take them off on a tour somewhere. She finally decided she wanted to see what he was doing, so she went along with him. And thus, the very first books that we had to start reading and understanding about feng shui were by her. Interior Design with Feng Shui was a really pivotal book that was written with Grandmaster Lin Yun, and he brought that particular type of feng shui here that's infused with his own understanding of Tibetan Buddhism, the Bon tradition, understanding about that multicultural needing to be able to bring in the Western sciences and psychology in with the traditional Chinese. So he gave us a simplified form to work with that's very simple and elegant, and I became a disciple of his quite a while back at one of the first international feng shui conferences. So that's why I always give credit back to him and his teachings and the manner in which he taught, which brought it here for us in a good way we could accept.
Wow, well, it's nice to have him here in spirit with us on the show.
Yeah.
So how did you get here? You mentioned interior decorating, but how did you get where you are now?
Well, I was always interested in working with interiors because I knew from a very young age how your emotions are affected by your environment. And, you know, in this culture, up until fairly recently, that was the main way to explore being able to change drastically what your surroundings were like. So I got into doing traditional interior design, and in the meantime, I was studying a lot of life-transforming philosophy with a Native American holy man who was also a Taoist, and so I was learning about things that were very fascinating and complementary in nature from both the Native and the Asian traditions, and working at various different types of jobs in the design field for years. And then one of my friends moved to Los Angeles. Out there in California, you guys always get everything before we do inland. In Colorado, you're like a few years ahead. And a friend of mine said, well, you know, I just found out that there's a type of interior design based on Taoism, which is you know, the basis
mm-hmm.
of what I'd been studying with the I Ching and so
mm-hmm.
forth. So I'm like, no way. He said, yeah, really, it's called feng shui, and it talks about if you move your desk in the right place, your luck will change. And I said, no way. But then I remembered he was the first person who also told me about different kinds of things that I had never heard of before, and he always kind of came through, whether it was virtual reality or
mm-hmm.
some new kind of yogic breathing method that changes things. I'm like, well, maybe I better look into this. And before long, I found the only three books that were in print in this country, and the minute that I read the first paragraph, I knew that that was something that I was meant to be doing. And so many people since then over the years have reported that as soon as they heard about feng shui, they were so excited because it gave them a vocabulary to talk about what they always intuitively knew about their space.
Mm-hmm.
So ever since then, I just started working on friends who were willing and experimenting, and things worked and things just kept going. And the universe always supports you in doing what you're meant to do. So over the years, I eventually got to work with lots of different students of Grandmaster Lin Yun and him himself,
mm-hmm.
and it's just been a really fabulous journey.
So, since this show is called A Call to Greatness, clearly one of my understandings of that on the individual level is when you really do finally hear the call, that is where you are meant to be. That is a call to be yourself. And it sounds like that was kind of that sort of moment for you.
Absolutely. That's really true.
Did it then require some courage? Was there some effort in responding to that call? What happened to you?
It required courage that was forced on me because, like most humans, I'm pretty complacent. And when I lived in the Denver area right before I moved to Boulder, you know, that's a much more traditional kind of economy and thoughts about career. I didn't know anyone the whole time I lived there that was self-employed. But as soon as I moved to Boulder, almost everyone I knew was making a living on their creativity. It was really fascinating to me to be surrounded by that. And meanwhile, I had moved to Boulder, but I was commuting back to the suburbs of the Denver area to work in what became my very last traditional interior design job for a really large home furnishings and decor outlet. And, you know, I was struggling there because I couldn't really put all of my Taoist and native things that I was doing away from work that were so fun in. It didn't quite segue into work because when you're trying to sell a $2,000 sofa, and it looks like the people that live in the house where you're working are going to get a divorce over trying to choose the right upholstery fabric. It's pretty apparent something else is going on, and
exactly.
I have a few things under my belt that would have helped, but in those days I couldn't really have everyone meditate and visualize what
yeah.
the outcome was. So anyway, I was stuck in that job until I was turned around by a little incident on the highway that turned me back towards Boulder, and I got laid off on the same day.
Excellent. Uh-huh. Well, that's great. We'll talk a little bit more about what you might do to actually help people choose the right sofa when we come back on A Call to Greatness. So stay with us, and we will hopefully answer a lot of your questions about your physical environment. Make room for your greatness. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Can you stay present and centered even when everything around you is completely out of control? Can you find joy, meaning, and peace even when life seems to be falling apart? Can you love yourself even when your inner critic is right? The soul journey is filled with complexities that will take you from adversity to ecstasy through power and vulnerability, from magical moments of connection into deep states of loneliness, from life to death and back again. With all the twists and turns, it's no wonder that we all sometimes have to ask for directions. Victoria Post, licensed minister, clairvoyant, and spiritual counselor, can help you keep your spirit alive while surrendering to your soul's journey. Victoria's mastery is in her ability to communicate information and apply practical and powerful tools to all life situations. She has honed her natural skills through clairvoyant training and years of personal work with Temenos and the Naos Foundation School of Sacred Studies. Clients say she has a healing and calming presence, provides focus and great clarity, and gives them permission to be who they are and make their own choices in life. Victoria offers individual counseling sessions and conducts classes in voice dialogue and other energy work. Additional services include public speaking, officiating for weddings, and other rituals and ceremonies, voice coaching, and customized songs for special occasions. When you're looking for support and guidance provided with absolute integrity, whether you need to appreciate the place you've landed or find the next path to follow, call Victoria Post at 415-928-2711, extension 2, or visit her website, spiritalive.com. Victoria Post at spiritalive.com. Naturally compassionate, innately spiritual, real and down to earth.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Welcome back to A Call to Greatness with Victoria Post. If you have a question or a comment, call us toll-free at 866-472-5794. Now back to the program. Here's Victoria.
And welcome back to A Call to Greatness. I am Victoria Post, your host for the show. And again, I'm here today with Laura Lynn Baker, multicultural feng shui consultant and mentor. We are talking about your physical environment and ways to partner with your environment so that it supports your vision, your needs, your greatness. So, Laura Lynn, why does the physical environment matter? Why does it matter that people pay attention to their surroundings and how they might set up a room?
Well, it's a really ancient biological mechanism that we observe what's going on around us, take stock of that, and then we decide whether our fight or flight mechanism needs to be activated or whether we feel comfortable and we want to spend more time in a place or we don't feel good in a place, you know. So it's really a basic thing that's become more complex as we've learned about different ways of doing architectural features and adding more and more to our houses. But I can actually do a psychological reading on anyone when I go in their house, unless they know I'm coming and they hide certain things.
Do people do that?
Oh, I don't know. No. I usually get a pretty good reading on what your inner state of mind is by seeing what you've surrounded yourself with. Mm-hmm. So knowing that, if you have your house filled with things that are from your last marriage and they were really valuable and so you think, well, I got these in the settlement so I should keep them around, well, you know, the story that you have about those is really affecting you. And so it's better if you want to make changes in your life, you can simply change what you're looking at every day, and you are going to be resetting, repatterning your brain in the way you're thinking about things.
Yeah, I know I have a couple of knickknacks, like these little teeny tiny square music boxy thingies, and you crank them to make music, and they're sitting kind of in a prominent spot. But I got them when I was in Germany, living in Germany, and doing something that was really fun at a brewery in Munich.
Oh, well, that's where the fun is there.
Well, exactly, exactly. And so sometimes when I can't quite figure out, when I'm stuck, when I feel stagnant, I go by and crank those things and play that music, and I find just having them there reminds me of something. It helps me actually reclaim an energy from a time I wasn't stuck.
Absolutely. That is very, very true. And when you add up every single thing that's in your home, knowing that it affects you negatively or positively in exactly that manner, but you, if you've maybe built up a filter or a wall, you're not so observant about things because they've been around you for so long.
Right.
Well, think about the collective impact of that on your well-being.
Yeah. Yeah, especially like all of the drawers and basements and closets that I don't think I've looked in I don't know, years. Who knows what energy's there affecting me?
Well, well, you'd be surprised, because if you think about a house or any building as relating to our physical structure, the basement, the cellar level, represents what's going on in a root chakra, ancestral survival kind of mode. Main floor is everyday waking consciousness. Top floor is closer to crown chakra, more meditative dream state, I think. So if you have a lot of hidden things in an area that relates to your root chakra, well, you tell me.
Oh. I think I know what I'm doing after the show.
Right. Well, you can also think of it in terms of being your foundation. What's underneath you? What's in the ground, literally,
mm-hmm.
that's holding you up?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So when you are consulting with people and they're saying, how do I start? If you don't have a lot of money and you don't want to go buy a whole lot of new furniture, where do you often start?
Well, I think one of the other things that I've gotten really well known for over the years is being able to work with a very, very low budget. And it is very possible to work with what you've already got. And most people are pretty surprised that they're able to do major transformation while I'm there without ever having gone to the store. And it's partly because 9 times out of 10 people have that stockpile of old things that are tucked away in closets and in the basement. And I kind of refer to it as being urban archaeology. And I'm always surprised how often I say, oh, geez, if we just had, do you have a scarf we could throw over this dresser here? They'll run and find exactly the perfect thing that they haven't thought of in many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
So you usually do have most, you know, a lot of ingredients to work with. And if you don't, some people are very minimalist and they literally don't have a lot of things to move around. Well, simply going out and buying fresh flowers and placing them in the right area with the right intention can make a difference.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What about space? If the physical space, like just using me as an example, in the way things, the furniture that I have and the shape of my office doesn't allow me to actually put the furniture exactly the way I'd want it. It just doesn't fit.
Well, there are different things you can do with mirrors and color, and sometimes you can, even if you don't have a large budget, you can at least change one thing and make
mm-hmm.
it smaller, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's always something that can be done. I've never, in all the years of working in almost 1,000 places now, ever not been able to do something with a space, whether it's really tiny or large or anything in between.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So, one of the things that I hear about a lot is, I keep coming back to clutter. Actually, there are lots of places where I can keep my space pretty neat, and I feel something happen inside of me if my husband takes a pen out of the thing I have the pens in and then just drops it on the table
mm-hmm.
and leaves. It's like it does something to me internally.
Yeah, it messes with your pattern. Really not. Always leaving is a pen. It's not as bad as some people have to deal with. But it's
right.
No, I understand what you're saying.
But I know a lot of people talk to me about the papers all over their desk and the clutter and the sort of lack of organization. Is that something that you see a lot of?
I do in maybe about half the places that I go to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people call me in for different reasons. Sometimes things are completely out of control, and that's why they know they need to hire a professional. But sometimes people have been already working on it by the time I get there, and they just want to understand how to go to the next step with it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about half and half. But, mm-hmm. you know, everybody has to deal with paperwork, and I think that's just indicative of what's going on with our culture is things are too fractured, there's too much information coming in, and then our environment reflects that.
Right.
And people have differing abilities to deal with incoming information and objects that need to be arranged. So everyone's affected really differently by it.
Mm-hmm.
But whether you can keep a handle on it or not is going to have a lot to do with your state of mind.
Yeah, because I notice the same thing even in my mind. If I get a lot of emails coming in and I get a lot of information coming in one email, you know, my mind starts to feel a bit like my desk can look.
Well, you know, a lot of times when people are really overwhelmed by their clutter and there's too much, if you simply start with one corner and make one corner of that room very beautiful, and don't freak out and think, oh, my God, I have 10 years of paperwork I'm going to have to go through to make this room right. Don't worry about it, because there's an interesting thing that happens. When you start working on your home, it feeds you energy. It's a fabulous phenomenon that I've discovered. It makes me really love my work. And that's why I always tell people, if they're apologizing because I'm showing up in the places of disaster, it's like, no, trust me, this is going to be really fun. It's almost like the worse it is, the more grateful the surroundings are, and they give you ideas. I've learned to tap into the voice of the spirit of the house, and the objects all have spirits, even though they're inanimate, mm-hmm. and they talk to me, which is another thing that I start to tune into in that beginning opening ceremony, is I tell everything to reveal their true selves and natures to me. And it's almost like I don't even have to work at that point, because if I determine, okay, we're going to start in this corner, everyone, raise your hand, who wants to be together here? And I look around, and the object, literally, it's almost like there's more of a light around certain things that want to be placed together to create a particular synergy. And
wow.
So when that happens, then the corner, everything, you can feel the chi move, you can get fed and inspired by that, and you're always surprised at how much more you can get done just by creating beauty in one small space than you would have thought.
Wow.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Wow. So I imagine this has impacted your life in a lot of ways, that you've become quite a listener to spirit.
Absolutely, I have, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How has this impacted your life?
Well, I'm talking to you. My voice is going out farther and farther as I learn these things in my own life. And I ask always in all the different ceremonies that I do for my personal use that I'm going to be able to know the right things to help the right people who show up. And my voice and the things I've learned will reach the people that need to hear it so that I can be part of the healing and waking people's consciousness up, because that is kind of like my hidden agenda when I go into someone's house, is I want people to become so conscious of what their own surroundings with, it's a natural overflow to start looking at the world around them when they walk outside their own door. And ultimately, you know, a lot of feng shui people are working on getting city planners and architects and everyone on board with how we really need to change the way we're thinking about our built world. So it has a profound impact.
Wow. So it really is coming from the ground up.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea of multicultural feng shui, is this a blending, like I know even in my house, gosh, we've got some Japanese art, we've got some native art, we've got a lot of things from different cultures. Are you seeing more of a blending of a lot of things?
Oh, I really am. All you have to do is just look at any interior design magazine today and just see that that is something that people are moving towards. And interior trends mirror larger societal changes that are going on within a culture. And the fact is, we are blending more and more beautiful cultures from all over the world, becoming more and more aware of different spiritual practices that people across the globe are doing. And literally more and more people are moving here. So it's a way to honor that idea that we all are one and there's beauty in every culture that we can celebrate.
Excellent. And we'll continue with this discussion, including what is currently happening in the world of feng shui, and talk more about your environment when we come back on A Call to Greatness. Remember, you are welcome to call in with questions, comments, stories of your own. In the meantime, do stay with us, and we will be right back.
Awakened Media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network.
Can you stay present and centered even when everything around you is completely out of control? Can you find joy, meaning, and peace even when life seems to be falling apart? Can you love yourself even when your inner critic is right? The soul journey is filled with complexities that will take you from adversity to ecstasy through power and vulnerability, from magical moments of connection into deep states of loneliness, from life to death and back again. With all the twists and turns, it's no wonder that we all sometimes have to ask for directions. Victoria Post, licensed minister, clairvoyant, and spiritual counselor, can help you keep your spirit alive while surrendering to your soul's journey. Victoria's mastery is in her ability to communicate information and apply practical and powerful tools to all life situations. She has honed her natural skills through clairvoyant training and years of personal work with Temenos and the Naos Foundation School of Sacred Studies. Clients say she has a healing and calming presence, provides focus and great clarity, and gives them permission to be who they are and make their own choices in life. Victoria offers individual counseling sessions and conducts classes in voice dialogue and other energy work. Additional services include public speaking, officiating for weddings, and other rituals and ceremonies, voice coaching, and customized songs for special occasions. When you're looking for support and guidance provided with absolute integrity, whether you need to appreciate the place you've landed or find the next path to follow, call Victoria Post at 415-928-2711, extension 2, or visit her website, spiritalive.com. Victoria Post at spiritalive.com. Naturally compassionate, innately spiritual, real and down to earth.
Dad, let's sing that bedtime song.
Rock-a-bye, baby, by Newton's treetop. His first law of motion, make sure you won't stop. The same rules of physics apply to a ball. While gravity is a force that makes things fall.
By the sixth grade, many girls lose interest in math and science, but it's never too early to set your daughter's future in motion. For some simple ideas, go to girlsgotech.org.
A public service announcement brought to you by Girl Scouts of USA and Ad Council.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Welcome back to A Call to Greatness with Victoria Post. If you have a question or a comment, call us toll-free at 866-472-5794. Now back to the program. Here's Victoria.
Thank you, and welcome back to A Call to Greatness. I am Victoria Post, and I'm here today with Laura Lynn Baker, multicultural feng shui consultant and mentor. And we were talking before the break about the sort of 21st century art of blending. We blend everything these days. We blend cuisines, we blend languages. More and more countries are a blend of cultures, and how this is reflected then in people's physical environments. And I just started asking during the break, what happens when you are blending lives, when you have a married couple who have very different styles, very different needs, even of the house? You know, my husband needs the house to be a place for rest and relaxation. I work at home. I need the house to be a place of creativity and aliveness. How do you blend things like that?
Well, to be honest,
besides asking the husband to leave. Come back later when we're done there.
Right. Well, you know, I believe that when you reach an impasse like that, that it is extremely helpful in the first place to consider hiring a consultant to come in and be a referee. No. When you bring someone in that's got an objective point of view, a lot of times spouses who are locked in power struggles will take in information that makes sense from someone else that has different considerations. Mm-hmm. So just by the fact that I show up and people have, and that's a very common thing. You know, a lot of times people with second marriages, she's moving into his house,
uh-huh.
and they call me up and say, oh my gosh, it doesn't feel like my house, I need help, what can I do? Mm-hmm. So it actually is something I do quite a bit of. So I've just found that just by showing up, they are already both willing to change their minds and listen to a third input that can hopefully be a blending of both of their needs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's where that ability for me to listen to what objects want to be together really helps a lot, because I find that a lot of times in those cases, people have kind of like, she's done all her stuff from her old house in her room, and he's put all his things in his room, and they're so different they can't even imagine how the two would ever fit together in a
mm-hmm.
family room.
Mm-hmm.
And if you really listen and you have an eye for how to artistically blend eclectic things, that really helps. So if you're able to do that on your own, that's a good start. But
mm-hmm.
if not, call someone in who can.
Exactly.
And if you just start to get away from the emotional part to start out with, although we can address that in the beginning ceremony, you know, kind of admit and address the fact that what you're working on is not just the space and it mirrors other issues in the relationship. Start out with that and then start, let that go and start to have fun with it. And just see, oh my God, did you ever think that that old picture of that fishing trip would look kind of fun if it was enlarged and put over that velvet sofa and, you know, whatever mm-hmm. kind of thing that could be kind of fun and whimsical. And they always start to come around and realize that it can be a fun creative process rather than a mine versus yours.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I know when I first moved into my husband's apartment, he told me my art was too homespun.
Oh, no.
To be out in the living room.
What did you do?
Well, I basically started talking to the art, and I started talking to the apartment, and I said, okay, you guys are going to get to know each other, and then you're going to talk to him.
Hey, you're natural.
So some of it's worked its way out into the living room, into the common space.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but the truth is sometimes you stop and really take an objective point of view, and it's like, well, do you really love that thing that you thought you had to take a stand on? Does it
exactly.
really make you feel good? And mm-hmm. then the prescription is to send both people out shopping
mm-hmm.
and get something brand new and really wonderful, one piece they both really love together
mm-hmm.
that represents their new life together, and that
yeah.
goes a long way to help.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And one other sort of issue, we are at this point in the live broadcast of the show moving into winter. What about people who live or work in dark rooms and yet we need light?
Mm-hmm.
I know for me, synthetic, like when you turn on a light switch, I have no idea there's light there. I'm very aware of natural light.
Right, and we don't all have that luxury when we're at work. Especially.
Right.
Hopefully at home we do somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And that is another issue that I deal with quite frequently when I'm working in an office space. So there's different levels of ways to handle that. First of all, the actual fixtures themselves. Unfortunately, a lot of times people don't have an option because it's not their building that they own and they can't literally change
right.
the fixtures out.
Right.
And it's been a common thing for overall task lighting to just automatically install fluorescent bulbs.
Mm-hmm.
So they can flicker. I think that they always do on some level technically. And so people have decided that putting in the full spectrum bulbs
mm-hmm.
are really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Because they supposedly have a full range of the colors that
mm-hmm.
natural daylight does. But personally, I have never felt that that in any way, shape, or form resembled what light looks like outside. I have to ask, if they're talking about lighting, I'm like, well, are those full spectrum bulbs? Because to me, they don't look that different.
Mm-hmm.
And I would personally just prefer to leave those off if it's possible and do task lighting. Sometimes you can install track lighting and it's not a big thing that has to be, it's not a big construction project.
Right.
And you can do that. But just know that it's going to be important to put some money into lighting and have lamps that you love that are more artistic around. Consider using can lights behind plants or things in the corner so you start to have a glow from the bottom up. And then if people are really affected, I know that they say that those seasonal affective disorder, the lamps, the day lamps that
mm-hmm.
you can literally turn on while you're seated at your desk.
Mm-hmm.
I personally have not ever used one, but I hear that people say that they help, so you could have one of those
mm-hmm.
that you could maybe in between clients or so forth that for a few minutes a day turn that on you.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so many different things to do with lighting. There's so many beautiful floor lamps, track lights, halogen lights. You know, it's good. And then we've got the whole thing of being able to save energy, that they're making more and more energy-efficient bulbs that are, I guess the compact fluorescent, so you'd be back to the fluorescent again, but
mm-hmm.
at least you would be thinking about helping the environment, which
mm-hmm.
is beneficial, and that can make you feel more cheerful, just knowing you're doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And then light some candles around if you're able to.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Have
I do candles a lot.
Because
mm-hmm.
that's always like a natural kind of a light. So there's many different ways. There's so many different
mm-hmm.
fixtures out there, but consider turning off the overheads and exploring more creative options
mm-hmm.
and thinking about lighting from the floor up, I guess, is the synopsis of that.
From the floor up. That's a great idea. So one of the things that I want to highlight about you that I hear is your playfulness.
Oh.
That you really have a lot of, and what you seem to be encouraging, at least encouraging me here, is having some fun and creativity with what you do.
Yeah, I think that's really important. You know, there are many different styles of feng shui. I'm sure most of your listeners that are tuned in that are interested in feng shui have read at least a couple of the 500 books that are available out there, and there's varying methods of approach to moving energy in your house. And some of them don't look very darn playful. Like, for example, I'm not going to show up in someone's house and say, this is your severed fate area, and this is your hungry ghost corner. And, you know, there's, in the ancient tradition way, that's the way that it was approached, so that they were thinking of more negative things. And I've worked with people who have started out, their first experience with feng shui was approaching it that way, and they aren't very happy with the whole system.
Right.
They aren't having fun.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a really important thing. I tell people that's part of my job when they hire me, is to make you start having fun.
Yeah, well, good.
Encourage that, because that is the whole point. If I go into a house and everyone's really depressed and there isn't a lot of liveliness around, I'm going to try and find some way to get that in the house, because, you know, if you feel good, you're going to be cracking jokes and having a good time.
Mm-hmm. And if you feel good, you are more likely to then implement whatever your vision is, whether it's a vision for your family, for your career, whatever your particular calling is.
Absolutely, that is very, very true.
Yeah. So where are we going these days with feng shui? I know you are encouraging a lot of study groups. You do a lot of mentorship work. Where are we going with feng shui?
Well, I know that when I have people from magazines call me up after all these years and they want to do an article, interview me to help them with an article on feng shui, I have a really difficult time encouraging them not to start over with the old hackneyed phrases of, feng shui is the ancient art of placement. For good luck, place your stove in this corner, face your desk this direction, put a fountain in your room. I mean, yeah, those are the basics, and it was like the alphabet that we needed to learn when feng shui first came here.
Mm-hmm.
But hopefully we've advanced to a little bit more literature at this point. And more people have studied and been practicing long enough that we know the basic rules, and then we're able to use that as you know, a springboard to something that's a more creative solution to things. And I think that we're really understanding more of the psychology of why feng shui works, rather than just thinking, oh, there's a superstition that says if you hang a firecracker over your door, it will keep negative energy away. Like, we're exploring, well, why might that really work, rather than just because people from China said that's something that could happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's because of your connection with the object and how your subconscious is affected by that every time you walk in and out of the door. And since we know that that is what we're trying to do, is to lift our spirits up and know and feel a sense of protection, well, the firecrackers may be one traditional way to do it, but maybe since we know that that's the outcome now, we're evolving into more methods of doing that.
Right.
You know, for example, maybe you can just paint the door red, or you can bring in something else that represents safety to you rather than the traditional...
No firecracker. It can be a more appropriate symbol.
Yeah, and no offense to anyone in San Francisco. I mean, I know I see a lot of that. And it does work. It's just that we're also exploring alternative
ways
to get the same job done.
Mm-hmm. We'll continue with this discussion. And if you want to check out Laura Lynn's website, by the way, it is www.visionsofhome.net. And we'll be right back, and we'll continue with the discussion of feng shui and a couple of more things that you can do to unlock your greatness in your environment. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
Can you stay present and centered even when everything around you is completely out of control? Can you find joy, meaning, and peace even when life seems to be falling apart? Can you love yourself even when your inner critic is right? The soul journey is filled with complexities that will take you from adversity to ecstasy through power and vulnerability, from magical moments of connection into deep states of loneliness, from life to death and back again. With all the twists and turns, it's no wonder that we all sometimes have to ask for directions. Victoria Post, licensed minister, clairvoyant, and spiritual counselor, can help you keep your spirit alive while surrendering to your soul's journey. Victoria's mastery is in her ability to communicate information and apply practical and powerful tools to all life situations. She has honed her natural skills through clairvoyant training and years of personal work with Temenos and the Naos Foundation School of Sacred Studies. Clients say she has a healing and calming presence, provides focus and great clarity, and gives them permission to be who they are and make their own choices in life. Victoria offers individual counseling sessions and conducts classes in voice dialogue and other energy work. Additional services include public speaking, officiating for weddings, and other rituals and ceremonies, voice coaching, and customized songs for special occasions. When you're looking for support and guidance provided with absolute integrity, whether you need to appreciate the place you've landed or find the next path to follow, call Victoria Post at 415-928-2711, extension 2, or visit her website, spiritalive.com. Victoria Post at spiritalive.com. Naturally compassionate, innately spiritual, real and down to earth.
Adding fractions is nothing.
For real?
Look, these are denominators. You multiply this one so that it's the same as that, then you add them up.
Man, that's easy.
Charles Bennett dreamed of returning to the old neighborhood as a teacher, but without money for college, only half of his dream came true. He's back in the old neighborhood.
Well, enough math. I gotta deliver these sandwiches.
Please support the United Negro College Fund. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. A message from the UNCF and the Ad Council.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
Welcome back to A Call to Greatness with Victoria Post. If you have a question or comment, call us toll-free at 866-472-5794. Now back to the program. Here's Victoria.
Thank you. Welcome back to the final segment of this edition of A Call to Greatness. And again, we are talking about your physical environment with multicultural feng shui consultant Laura Lynn Baker. And I really want to emphasize that multicultural aspect because so much of us are doing this unconsciously anyway. Laura Lynn, we were talking about what is current with feng shui and bringing in a psychological component. Could you talk a little bit about your mentorship program and what you are doing these days?
Sure, I'd be happy to. In the beginning, when I first started getting out and there weren't a lot of other practitioners in Colorado, people always got very excited because they saw how much fun I was having moving stuff around in the house, and we just had a good time, and they would quite commonly ask me at the end of our session together if I would teach them how to do what I did. And of course, I didn't feel I was in any position whatsoever to be able to do that, and I, for years, just said no, 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 no. And then more and more people started actually starting schools, especially out in the California area, and I knew that they were starting from about the same place that I was when we first discovered feng shui and started implementing it, experimenting with it, learning, studying, seeing what worked and what didn't. And so one day, the critical mass of people asked me, well, what school should I go to in California? And I thought, you know what? I said, if you wait a couple of weeks, I'm going to develop a program, because I had things kind of brewing in the back of my mind. And I sat down and I put together a synthesis of all the things that I'd learned in addition to the actual feng shui I'd been studying and practicing, the I Ching, which is actually the roots of feng shui. I do a lot of work with that. Most people know that as the book that is you use the coins to throw as a
divinatory. Right, the book of changes. Mm-hmm.
But it's much more than that, and that is what the actual feng shui Bagua is based on. So I knew I wanted how that is linked. I wanted to teach people how to practically implement feng shui cures that weren't necessarily traditionally Chinese because not everyone's aesthetic fit that. So I wanted to teach good interior design basics so that their cures could look nice for whatever home they went in.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to teach people how to develop their own qi with qigong methods. And I had to insist that they had their own homes feng shuied from top to bottom before they went out and told someone else what to do with their home. And so I had a real experiential, hands-on approach where we got together every 2 weeks, and they'd start out working in the career area of the home and work their way around the Bagua, so that by the time we graduated in 6 months, they had a really good understanding. I didn't want them to give cures to people just on an intellectual basis, because they had read it or someone in a workshop said it would work. I wanted them to feel what would happen if they hung a crystal in a particular area, or they painted a wall red, or they introduced fresh flowers versus soaked or dried, or they moved that piece of furniture. You know, I wanted them to, every step of the way, as much as I could, really get out of their head and feel it and live it. Because I knew that there were practitioners out there whose own homes were a shambles and mm-hmm. their own lives were not balanced. And so I just didn't know how, that I didn't feel they could be to their maximum amount effective when they went out to help other people, because it was only an intellectual process. So that is one of the things that I really wanted to do that I thought was different than what was happening in some of the other classes. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that since then some other people are mm-hmm. more and more aware of that mm-hmm. need.
So how then, I assume people can connect with you through your website?
Yes, they have a way to contact me either with my phone or my email address is on the website. There's a link there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that website again?
Is lauralyn@visionsofhome.net.
That would be the email. Mm-hmm.
And the spelling mm-hmm. is a little difficult, so I'll just say that it's LAURELYN.
Okay, so for email then it's lauralyn@visionsofhome.net.
Yes.
Or the site itself, www.visionsofhome.net. There's a lot of good information there. I had a lot of fun on the site.
Oh, good.
I had a lot of fun on the site, so I would really encourage people to check that out. Are there any last recommendations, resources, thoughts, anything you would like to leave people with? I had kind of said, tune in, make room for your greatness. So,
yeah, well, you know, that's something that I always want to encourage people, is that I never thought I'd be able to, you know, make a living doing something that I love, that was of service, that really fed me and my clients, until I started working with feng shui. Because that was what I was meant to do. I set my own home up to the degree that I could so that my work would get out in the world. But I have encouraged and coached and mentored a lot of people that whatever their business is, that if you use these principles in your home to be a launching pad to get you out in the world the way you need to go, I'll tell you what, it's, anything is possible. If you back up your good business sense, you know, you have to advertise. You can't just put a fountain in the right area and expect everyone to call you. You have to, or you can't just start a restaurant and not really be open all, you know, mm-hmm. at meal time and expect mm-hmm. that the feng shui is going to help. You have to do good common sense. But anytime it's backed up with intention in your environment to support your work, you will be amazed at how successful you can become. And it's a way of really taking hold of your own power. And it's empowering yourself, even if you're an employee working in someone else's place. Things are kind of set up usually. You know, they even do the feng shui of keeping people in their place by putting the more important people in the bigger offices with the windows and everyone else in the cubicle. Well, you can empower your cubicle in a lot of behind-the-scenes ways that aren't even necessarily visible to anyone else. And take hold of your life, because you're connecting to the Creator and Spirit that will move you, because it has helped millions of people for thousands of years in all its different forms that it's taken in different cultures and different eras of time.
Mm-hmm.
It's powerful, and you can tap into it in whatever way you need to. There's many ways to connect with feng shui.
Yeah, and that's I was thinking as you were talking, it's like a wonderful, quiet way to be a little bit subversive and revolutionary.
Uh-huh,
like, Sarah,
yeah.
You can't keep me down.
Well, yeah, I have a little bit of that intention with everything I do. So
there you go.
Why not?
Why not? Absolutely, absolutely. So again, Lauralyn's website is www.visionsofhome.net. I encourage you to take advantage of it, to maybe spend the day to day and just work with one corner of your office or your home, and begin that process of making room for your greatness. Thank you, Lauralyn, for having been here. It's been a real pleasure spending time with you. I actually feel quite inspired and uplifted.
Great.
And I want to thank all of you out there for tuning in, for listening. Please let your friends know they can tune in and listen in the archives as well. And have a wonderful, creative, and fun-filled week. And I look forward to joining you again next week, right here on A Call to Greatness. Blessings to all of you. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to A Call to Greatness. To contact Victoria, visit spiritalive.com. Tune in next Wednesday for another profound hour on A Call to Greatness with Victoria Post.